So I grew up in a little town called Gooding. It's about an hour from here. I had two sisters and a mom and dad all with us at home throughout the years that I grew up. So pretty normal home life. We went to an RLDS church growing up. So that is an offshoot of the Mormon church. So it's kind of similar to the LDS faith, but a little bit weakened, maybe a little watered down. So I didn't grow up with a biblical doctrine. But that's where we went all through the years that I grew up. And I had a Sunday school teacher there who taught us about Jesus and God, the RLDS version of that. But none of it really meant a lot to me. I don't remember it really hitting home at all. But we did enjoy it. We enjoyed aspects of it, I think, growing up. It just didn't mean a lot to me. And in my family, only my mom and my sisters and I, we went to church and my grandma went, but the men of the family never went. So it was very shallow faith, kind of like going through the motions or scoring points with God, not real faith. And my sister and I were allowed to take books with us to church, and we would actually read through the sermons, which I think is horribly rude now, and I can't believe my mom allowed us to do that, but that's what we did, and so it just really didn't mean anything to us. But through the same church, we went to church camps in the Cascade Mountains. They were like five-day kid camp sort of things. And one year, when I was 10 years old, we went to one of these camps, and we always really enjoyed them, had a lot of fun with them. And usually someone from Boise ran these camps, but this particular year, a group from Spokane ran it. And so these were new people. We had never met them or anything. And my parents, who were dropping us off, they met the elder of this church who's running the camp this year. And they felt that he was off. They felt that he was acting strangely, and he was acting strangely towards me. But they unfortunately still left us, despite their misgivings. And unfortunately, that was to be a big mistake, because I was abused at that camp by that man. And that was something that, at the time, I completely lost memory of. So for a few years after that, I had no memory of it whatsoever. And during those few years, it happened again at another youth retreat that was at the same camp, and the same man was there again, and it happened again. And until I was 14, the first year of high school, I did not remember these things at all. Complete severing of memory, which was a blessing, but still very confusing. And so when I started to remember those things, I was very confused, very disturbed, and I started to cut myself at that point. And that was to be something that would continue for the next 7 years. And for the first four of those years, I was still at home with my parents, so we were still just going through that together as a family, and my parents just, they never even heard of this. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know how to deal with it. And the church at the same time was going crazy because this is a scandal, and they did their very best through those years to cover it up and put it under the rug. And they succeeded in doing so, unfortunately. And so I think all of that came together for me to create that self-dialogue of, worthlessness. I had no worth, I just hated myself, and I felt that no one loved me, why would anyone? And I think the deep shame and self-loathing and all of that kind of stuff, it was not only from the abuse, but also just the enemy. I think I was just very oppressed by him throughout those years. But we, despite a couple of psych ward admittances in high school, we got through it, sort of. And I left home at 18 to go to CSI in Twin Falls. And I went there for a year. And that's where I met my husband, who is my husband today, Dan Williams. And we just kind of became inseparable from the start. We were just friends from the start. And we hung out and we did everything together. And after not very long, we were living together. Really didn't have a moral compass, either one of us. And so we just did what we wanted to do. I can't say my parents were happy about it, but that's what we did. And I think it was about 6 months later and we got married. I was 19 when we got married and not at all ready to be married. I didn't understand what marriage was. I didn't understand what was expected of me, what I should do, what I shouldn't do. I mean, I just was not ready for that at all. But we continued. And for our first year, you know, we kind of just got through it. But my problems, you know, had not faded with time. And I was still cutting. I was still dealing with the depression and the anxiety and all of those things. And so after about a year, I ended up in the ER with a severe anxiety attack sort of thing going on. And they saw all the cuts on my arms and legs, and they knew that they couldn't just let me go home from there. I had, you know, suicidal thoughts. I'd always struggled with that as well. So they admitted me to the psych hospital there in Twin. And I was there for about a month, and then I was switched over to the State Hospital South in Blackfoot, which is the main one here in Idaho. And I was there for another month. And that round of hospitalizations kicked off the next 2 years of in and out and in and out and in and out of those places. And as time went on, I think I just began to feel more comfortable there than anywhere else. It felt like that was the right place for me, which probably sounds really strange, but when you have no worth and you have no, you don't value yourself. That's just where you gravitate toward. I think you gravitate toward places of darkness. And so that's where I would rather have been than at home with my husband. And so when I wasn't there, I was kind of trying to get back there, which is very strange sounding, I'm sure, but that's just what I needed. I don't know, it's hard to explain. But after those 2 years of in and out, our marriage was pretty horrible. And the doctors were telling us both, you know, you need to get a divorce. There is nothing left of your marriage and you just are killing each other, was kind of their words. And so we separated and I went to live with my parents for a little while because outside of him, I didn't have a home. And so I was with my parents and I just was so completely torn up by the separation. And I think looking at it now, God was just not going to allow it to happen. He was not going to allow that divorce. And we were both so soul hurt. And we just, I think both of us just went around crying all the time through that separation. And so one day, and I can't remember exactly what prompted it, but I packed up all my stuff in my car from my parents' house and went back home. And I went to the door, my husband and I's apartment, and just asked him if I could come home. And he broke down crying because that's all he wanted to, was to, for me to come home, despite how horrible it had all been. And during that time, my husband had been talking to a pastor in Twin Falls at the Nazarene Church there. And I think he'd just been seeking help. Like he was at the end of his rope and he was seeking something. And the pastor had wanted to meet with us. And this was before I actually went home. And so when I got there, you know, Danny told me about this. And so the very next day we went to this pastor. And he was just amazed that, you know, the last he had heard, we were still separated. And all of a sudden we were here in his office, me having moved home, and we were ready to do something. You know, we were ready to save the marriage. despite all odds. It was very surprising, I think. And so that same day, this pastor led my husband and I both in salvation prayer, and we were saved that day. And he continued to work with me over the next months. But amazingly, I never cut again after that. So for 7 years, I was under that oppression, in that darkness, and suddenly the light dawned, and I never did it again. And so I can't say that it was easy coming out of that completely. There was still healing that had to take place. We had to work through things, and the pastor that was there in the Nazarene church helped me to do that a lot. But after that, the Lord was the game changer. And after that, we began to heal, and we began to have new life. And I discovered that someone had loved me to such a degree that he went to the cross and died for me. And if I was the only person on the earth, he would have done that for me. And so that changed everything, because I think before that I had no worth and could not love myself and could not allow myself to have any happiness or joy. But with Jesus coming into my heart and into my life, for the first time I had worth, and I was loved for the first time as well. Loved in that deep way that is exactly what I needed. So I got all I ever wanted in that day. So I guess what I would like you to take from this the most is that God is with you even in the worst times of your life. So even in the darkest times, he's there. Even before maybe you know him, he's there. And he's going to take those times and make something beautiful out of them, something good. And secondly, he has made you pure. So anyone who has been abused or defiled in some way, whether it's by someone else's sin or even our own sin, we have purity in Christ and in his blood. We're washed, like the song we were just singing. And thirdly, in the Lord's strength, it's now possible for us to move past our past and walk in his freedom. And I can definitely say that if I had not given my heart to him, I probably wouldn't be here, and I would never have experienced that freedom. So I'm so thankful to the Lord for what he has done, and can say, to God be the glory.